You didn't grade it.
Yeah. Grade it.
Before we get started, I want to mention we got the new Bible reading calendar. You don't have to start on January 1st. It has a calendar, January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, etc. And just take a highlighter and mark off the days you read.
Amen.
And we had people join. I think Frank's one of them joined us in the middle of the year last year. And just going right along. And we got them in the booklet section over here, and we got them online. I showed Wednesday how to find those. I won't do it again tonight. But
please silence your cell phones, or Rocky gonna knock you out.
I just thought some of you might need a little motivation. There you go. All right, we're in Joel 2. Those of you online wondering, we always start late the first Wednesday. Because we were enjoying pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't provide advertising, but we do appreciate the fact that Donato's makes a really good pizza. And their sandwiches are good, too. So we appreciate that. And we'll be in Joel 2, 22 through 27. And my people shall never be ashamed. Right after current events update. I'm sure people are on the edge of their seats waiting to hear what Greg Miller has to say about what happened today.
Absolutely.
Well, there's supposed to be the confirmation of the Electoral College vote with the objections and presentation of the evidence, and Ted Cruz and I can't remember who the congressman was stood up and objected, so they put the joint session in recess, went to the House and Senate respectively, started their debates over the objection, and somebody, group of people, crashed into the Capitol building. Mm-hmm. They did have, some of them had some Trump stuff on, others of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So the question everybody is now asking, was it Trump supporters who actually did it? And we have no idea, to be honest with you, but of course the news media has already tried and convicted everybody, just like they did the kids in Covington Catholic. And you know, we have such good reporters.
Amen.
I mean, the reporting in this country is so good.
Top notch.
Just stellar.
Well, if you compare it to the work that a 2-year-old might do.
That's a good point, Johnny. That is.
Yes.
In other words, we don't have a real news media in this country. And I say it with all the love in my heart, but if you're watching ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, or even Fox News most of the time, you're an idiot.
Amen.
You shouldn't even be allowed to walk around in public alone. You ought to have somebody holding your hand and helping you get through life if you're that stupid. I'm sorry, was that too mean? I mean,
honest.
It's the equivalent of someone calling himself a Christian and going to the Church of Satan. It really is. Anybody who claims to be a God-fearing American watching that crap is like a Christian going to church at the Church of Satan. It really is that far from the truth. And so when we came in tonight, these idiots, I just every once in a while flip through to see what the liars are saying. And tonight I went to Donato's and they had MSNBC on. And they've already declared it was a bunch of Trump supporters and Donald Trump is to blame, of course.
Oh, of course, and he has to be impeached.
So, as I said, we were watching it on C-SPAN. And this is how Trump supporters have torn down Capitol barriers, chasing or clashing with police. Well, if you look, you'll find only sporadically where you see red hats and Trump flags. So that's the big problem. Now,
that is a cool sight.
This was what was going on while a small group was attacking the Capitol.
Yeah, that was a...
this was going on. And as you can see, how many, they say there's up to 200,000 people there. We have other pictures of all the people that you're, again, you're fake, lying news media at ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and I don't know about Fox News this time.
There could be more.
They don't show that. They only show Trump with a few heads in front of him speaking. They don't show you what really is going on. Paul Joseph Watson said, why would anyone have a problem with Trump supporters behaving like BLM supporters?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, seriously, why is it okay for Black Lives Matter and Antifa to burn down cities and loot?
Amen.
And then somehow the same people who excuse that and say that it's mostly peaceful protests will paint this thing up like it's the worst thing that ever happened. I only say that it's obvious that you're being lied to. These people have an agenda on those news programs. After all, as the media constantly insists, BLM is peaceful. What are the odds? This is another guy I don't know, Tim Young. He says, what are the odds that Antifa and anarchists are dressed as Trump supporters, trying to agitate and get people physically fighting? I've never met a single Trump supporter who would attack a police officer.
Amen.
Now, we've had Sean Richardson at some of these rallies downtown Columbus, and he was there at the D.C., so it'd be interesting to hear his perspective on this, because he says that every time they have a rally, the BLM and Antifa people show up to start trouble and start fights, and none of the liars at 10 TV, Channel 4, Channel 6 and 28, none of those liars tell people that.
Yeah. It makes it seem
you don't see that on your local fake news. And then what do the Trump supporters do? They leave. They don't fight. Sean says, you know, once that stuff starts, everybody just leaves. So you're being lied to big time. They want you to believe this guy's a Trump supporter.
Who's he?
He's in there looting the Capitol building, taking one of their big podiums. Here's the guy who sat in the seat Mike Pence was in. I don't see anything about Trump, but I do see the communist fist. And that's Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Their signs even have that. You can drive around these idiots here in Worthington, Ohio with their Black Lives Matter signs, and you'll see that in their front yards.
Yeah, I want out of this place.
Well, there was a report, early report, one person was shot in the neck and one was shot in the chest at the Capitol. They linked the protest to what was going on at the Capitol, and they were two separate, distinct events. So this fellow, Joe Layden, reported that Mike Pence had unfollowed President Trump on Twitter. If he did, then Mike Pence is a punk.
Yep.
The only reason for Mike Pence to unfollow Donald Trump is that he believes the claptrap and the lies that he is being fed by the liars in the mainstream news media.
I just read they banned Trump for 12 hours off Twitter.
And Trump made a video calling on people not to be violent, and they blocked it because in the video he made reference to the election fraud.
Really?
Because Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube are branches of the Democrat Party. They are Democrat propagandists, and that's all they are. Twitter, YouTube, Facebook.
Yep. Okay.
He says the Antifa folks dressed in MAGA stormed the Capitol when real MAGA was at the other end of the plaza listening to the speech, as we showed you. Not one of the news media is telling that right now.
Yep.
Every single news media outlet is lying to the American people. When Donald Trump said that our news media is the enemy of the people, he was right, and everyone, including the Republicans who said otherwise, are an embarrassment.
Amen.
They stormed it while Pence was reading his treason speech, but could not have heard it. He says, lots of planning here, and that's what I think. I see this, how this is all unfolding. It really looks well planned. And if you don't think that the people do that. And if you don't think your own government does this, you just don't know history. That's why I beg people to learn history.
Amen.
So the tweeting was not really helpful, though. You think about it. They were tweeting while these people are storming the Capitol building. How many of you think were going, "Well, wait a minute, guys. Wait. There's a tweet." I mean, think about how dumb that was. They were all doing it, including Trump. He was advised, "Please support our Capitol police and law enforcement. They're truly on the side of our country." It's fine. Fine statement. "I am asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence." Fine, fine, fine. But they weren't looking at tweets. So it's like people live in a world where they think Twitter is like on everybody, you know, lives in Twitter land. Nobody I know does. There are certain people who do, and they form Twitter mobs. But outside of that world, no one I know, even people who I know who are on Twitter, they just check it every once in a while. You know what I'm saying, Jack? Go ahead.
Just so everybody can breathe a sigh of relief. excuse me.
Don't get choked up now.
A little bit. I'm looking at Snopes right now, which is horribly, horribly liberal. But even they are saying that it's false that Donald Trump, or that Pence unfollowed Donald Trump.
Really? Okay. So that's interesting. Because I actually looked at two or three other places. I can't look at Twitter. I'm blocked from Twitter. And it's because I posted something and they demanded that I take it down or I couldn't look at their website. Well, up theirs. I'm not deleting it. And I'm just not going to bow to these people anymore. But that's why I couldn't check it directly on Twitter. And I went to two or three other sources and they all said that was going on. So if Mike Pence did not unfollow Donald Trump, he may not be a punk. But I still have my questions and doubts about him. I've said that over the years.
Amen.
I've been very pleased most of the time with what he's done, just like Mitch McConnell. But I am not fooled. Mitch McConnell's a punk. And you're going to see it again. Just like before Trump, you're going to see the after Trump. Like BC and AD for Mitch McConnell is BP and AP. I don't trust that man as far as you can throw a turtle.
Amen.
So, the issue, Jim Gunn, unconstitutional rule changes. That's the issue. Unconstitutional rule changes by corrupt states resulted in fraudulent elections.
Amen.
Don't lose sight of that fact. All this other Dominion software and this and that all contributed. But the main point was that this election was a violation of the Constitution itself.
Amen.
You are only allowed to make your rules in your state legislature.
Amen.
They made changes at the Secretary of State level and even in local levels.
Yeah.
Made changes to the election rules and laws without going through the legislature. That's a violation, I believe, of the 12th Amendment of the Constitution.
Amen.
And so that's the point that sadly was being made by Ted Cruz and others before all this blew up. But just all too slick and convenient to me. You know, they had it all ready to lay out and everything. And yes, it may still ended up with Biden being installed. I don't know. But right as they're just getting started, and boom. And I believe the reason is the fact that the communist globalists are taking over.
Yep, that's right.
And this is in preparation for the Antichrist.
Yep. That marks the spot. Yep.
Psalm 31:6. "I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord."
Amen.
That's really the two sides you're talking about in this whole thing. There are those who regard lying vanities, those who believe what's on the news media, believe what they're told all the time, believe the lies, not only about Donald Trump, the lies about our history, the lies about our country, the lies about illegal immigrants, and that the fact that we are not opposed to immigration, we're opposed to illegal immigration.
Amen.
And the fact that the reason the Democrats and the globalist neocons and rhinos want these immigrants to illegals to come across our border is so that we will be destroyed as a government.
Yep.
And that we will then be a part of the world government of Antichrist.
Yep, right.
Yep. So, that's it. You pick your side, amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, let's get into our Bible study now with the word of prayer. Ask Brother Jim if you would open Bible study prayer.
Amen.
Lord, Father, we just ask your blessing over tonight's service. Thank you for what the pastor's prepared for us. And Lord, thank you that despite what's going on, Lord, that we have hopeful hearts. And our hope is in you, and that's not going to change, Lord. We live in an occupied country, Lord. But this world is not our home.
Amen.
We're Amen. Just looking forward to your glorious return, Lord.
Amen.
Until then, Lord, I hope that it's just in our hearts to spread the good news of the gospel. We just ask your blessing over everything said and done tonight. May it be done in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good prayer. Thank
you. So, Joel 2, we're going to start in verse 22. Title this, And My People Shall Never Be Ashamed. And we're going to read those verses. I'll start with 22 and you all jump in on the odd verses. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed.
Amen.
All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So Joel interjects some good news describing the kingdom to come. Basically what we're saying, it's a bit of a summary, an overview, after he talks about, as we saw in our previous study, that he has a land, and that land is his, and he has his eyes on it from January 1st to December 31st.
Amen.
And he loves this land. It's called the Pleasant Land many times in Scripture. And he loves it for his own purposes and own reasons. But he also has promised this land to Abraham and to his seed, which we find out later is through Isaac and not Ishmael, mm-hmm. through Jacob and the 12 sons and their offspring, which today we see back in the land after about 1900, 1800 and some years. They were kicked out around 70 AD and went back. Started going back around the 1880 period and then became a nation again in 1948. And now more and more Jews are going back. It's interesting, I read commentaries from like the 1960s and 70s and even 80s. And some of them, like J. Vernon McGee, didn't want to identify this modern state of Israel as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. One of the reasons was because there were still so many Jews around the world. Well, you can't interpret the Bible based on headlines.
Amen.
That always gets you in trouble. And so what people actually, that was the criticism before the World Congress of Zionism in the 1880s. Before that, there were Christians writing about this and teaching this. People who are, there's this big conspiracy theory, you know, involving J.N. Darby and Schofield and all these people. Well, they were just basing it on the Bible, not on the newspapers. And people said, that's impossible. One of the reasons why so many of the reformers would not believe what the Bible said about the regathering of Israel, the Jews into Israel, in the end times, because they just thought it was impossible. So they had trouble believing the Bible. And so they would come up with these alternative theories called amillennialism or postmillennialism. And but those who believe the Bible from the time of the church fathers on, that's what they're called. They're not really church fathers. They were Christians in the first century and second century, but they're called the church fathers from that point on. Justin Martyr and others believed what the Bible said about this coming kingdom, this thousand-year reign where Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. And so on down through the years, now the Dark Ages, we don't know how many people really believed that the Bible truths on those matters, because there was so much killing and they would burn their books and burn down their churches and everything. We lost a lot of documentation. But there was proof, evidence that the Waldenses, for example, who traced their lineage all the way back to the times of the apostles, believed in it. And so we have this heritage as Christians of believing that Jesus is going to return and he's going to rule and reign sitting on a throne in Jerusalem.
Amen.
That is why God loves that land and has his eyes on that land and has said, don't sell my land. And that's what really Jenny was telling somebody today. We love Benjamin Netanyahu and I love Donald Trump. But they're both wrong. These land for peace deals are wrong.
Amen.
And may explain why Donald Trump may lose the presidency. Really might.
Yep.
So with that backdrop, then we come to verse 22. And he promises that this land he's going to bless. And he says, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. So God's got a plan, not just for believers, but even the animal kingdom. Ain't that something? Even the animal kingdom is going to enjoy heaven on earth. We got this cute little puppy. I should have got a picture and put it up here, but we have this cute little puppy named Cammy. And her predecessor was a cute little puppy named Sebby. And they're just as cute as can be. And they think they're tough, you know. And so they hear, all you have to do is, if they could be nodding off, you can go like this. And they're going, this little thing about this big, and he's going to kill you. And, they go to the front door, and they'll be barking and looking at us like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you doing something about this? You know, it's the mailman or mailwoman or whatever. But, we love them, but we know good and well that if they ever got loose and had to live outside of our house for more than a few hours, they'd be dead. Yeah. I mean, they would not survive if it wasn't a coyote or a hawk or whatever. And we try to explain that to them when they try to get away, but they do pretty good. I think Sebby had the longest getaway of all of them.
Oh, yeah? How long?
But he came home safe. Somebody saved him from being a victim of the natural world or whatever. But we could have that same puppy. And Jenny will debate you on the fact that whether or not she is going to have that same puppy during the millennium. And if Cammy or Sebby were to go walking off into the millennial kingdom, they'd be safe.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be hawks eating shih tzus.
That's right.
Or coyotes eating shih tzus.
Mm-hmm.
The wolf will lie down with the bear. That's pretty impressive.
The wolf will lie down with the lamb.
With the lamb. Well, there's the bears and the lions and the wolves and all of them. Okay, the Bible has a particular quotation, but what I'm saying is true.
Yes.
I wasn't quoting the Bible. I'm just saying that no matter what, you take a wolf and a lamb, or a wolf and a bear, as I said originally. Lamb isn't going to hurt anybody. But you take a wolf and a bear and stick them in a room together now. And if you film it, you'll get some good YouTube video, you know, because it's going to be wild. But during the millennium, a wolf and a bear just going to slap high five. Hey, man, how's it going? Now, I don't know they're going to talk, but you never know. I mean the Balaam's ass did, you know.
Yeah, that too.
So who knows? But it's going to be a whole different world for not just us, but the beasts. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. It means they're going to have all kinds of good green stuff to eat.
Yeah.
They're not going to have to worry about going hungry because they're not eating each other. They're going to go out in the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. Means is, you know, not just giraffes, but anything, any of the animals that can climb a tree and get fruit. And the vine do yield her their strength. So the good times are coming. We quoted, I'm not going to have to turn there, but, you know, I love Romans 8. I just, one verse out of that chapter says, for we know, this is verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And one of my most frequent aches is my knee. Been crashed in a car accident or two and a couple other injuries to it. And so now, 30 years later, arthritis has moved in. The only time it really bothers me, though, is when I'm trying to sleep. And I don't know about you, but I got a pretty high pain threshold. But when you're trying to sleep and you got these pains, and I'll tell you how often that verse pops in my head when I'm laying there at night thinking, I'm never going to get sleep. This knee football, hurts. Football didn't help, yeah. Yeah. But not just your knee, but your back or whatever, and you're laying there in bed, and then you start to, and I have to get up or I'll wake Jenny up. So I go sit out in my chair, and I sit there and think about this. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Because there's coming a day when that's not going to be the case.
Right.
No more migraines. No more back pain. No more eye issues. No more kidney issues. No more fill in the blank. And that's what he's talking about here in addition to the animals. Verse 23, he says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now, how many of you have been told or heard someone teach this had something to do with speaking in tongues?
What?
No, I actually
haven't.
Yeah.
What dictionary are they using?
I did. Yeah.
This text is used, has been used for decades by charismatics and Pentecostals. They spiritualize it, and what they claim is that the former rain was the day of Pentecost and the apostolic age. And then there's been this dearth from the time of the apostles till, I guess it's about 1901 in Kansas, and then Azusa Street, and then the charismatic revival. And that is the latter rain.
Wow.
Just... It goes, I think, without saying that anybody reading this text, unless they were already indoctrinated, nobody would think that if they're reading
Amen.
This.
Amen.
Why? Because it's not saying that.
It's
some of the teachers would always say,
context?
What's that mean? Well, first of all, what does it say?
Rain.
And what it says is what it means.
Yep.
Well, what else does it say there? They're trying to spread this thing out over 1,900 years. Look at the verse ends by saying, and the latter rain when? In the first month. What it's saying is that when the millennium breaks out, it's going to right off the bat be amazing. And they already said in the previous verse about how the wilderness do spring and the tree beareth fruit. Well, why? Because they're going to get all the rain they need in that first month in order to just explode. And I believe that it's going to be like it was in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
But I think you get a glimpse of that when you read right up to the time that the giants were still in the land and Joshua was taken and leading the Jews into the promised land, and they had to take on these giants. In the meantime, when they carried grapes, they had one what we'd have a what's it called, a cluster. They had to put it on a stick and two of them carry it because they were so big. Their grapes were the size of watermelon.
Agriculture here, not speaking in tongues.
Yes. This doesn't have anything to do with...
Maybe they knew nothing
untie my bow tie, who stole my Honda stuff, or any of that stuff. And I get excited thinking about that, because I get a grape about that big, and I'm like, whoa, you know. Strawberries, how many of you eat strawberries about this big? Yeah, it does?
I love strawberries.
What do you think about a strawberry then being about this big? I mean, big enough for one for the whole family, you know? And you just think about it. And sometimes when you, these days, if you grow something bigger, a lot of times it loses its flavor. I don't think that's the case here. I think the bigger, it's not going to be bigger in size, it's going to be bigger in flavor. One preacher said, I think we're going to have glorified taste buds in order to just handle it. I hope that's true. Couldn't tell, but I do like food. Imagine the pie made out of blueberries in the millennium. And Jenny's going to make pies in the millennium.
Yeah.
Even Jenny will do that.
Yeah, Jenny.
To the pumpkin show to see the biggest pumpkin.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And you think about, are they going to be bigger?
That might be the natural size there.
See that over there? Yeah, whose house is that? That's not a house, that's my pumpkin.
Oh, so that man can't actually put his wife in a pumpkin.
But the bottom line here is not the charismatic movement or anything. See, the reason why it says this is because there were years where they were not right with God, and so they had drought, which means they all went hungry. And it was getting so bad that the people were turning to cannibalism. And but even it's like in Venezuela, they were eating their domestic animals. And that's where America is heading, by choice. You think about that. America is choosing at least enough of them. I believe Biden cheats to get in if he's in. But there were enough of them that they could cheat to get in.
Yeah.
And probably about 70 million choosing to do this to their own country.
Yep.
Well, this has nothing to do with the modern charismatic movement. As I said, it happens in the first month of the millennium. And I just think about that, that first month of the millennium. That's going to be good times all the way.
That's right, just right the first month.
But the first month. Just think of that, your first month in the millennium. Yeah. I just, you know, I like to think about that. And none of this is in the church age. So it's not the charismatic movement. It's not any movement. It's not in the church age. We move on to verse 24. Continues basically on this days of plenty. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Now these are what's called staples. Staple commodities, if you're into Adam Smith. And they will saturate the population. You're going to have so much wheat, wine, and oil that you're just not even going to, you know. One thing you're never going to do is go to your neighbor's house and ask for some oil or wheat or whatever. Yes?
So, my paper Bible says bats, B-A-T-S, and my electronic Bible says F like Frank,
fats. Yeah, and they're the same word, so it's not a big deal really, but I like fats better.
Yeah. Fats.
Amen.
That's weird. Okay.
It is weird. Mine says fats.
Yeah. Now, there are some Bibles, they've tinkered with the text, so if you go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and it says thoroughly instead of throughly, that in itself isn't a huge difference, but I'm telling you, when you have a Bible that does that, you're going to find all kinds of other changes.
Yeah.
Let me check.
So, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be throughly furnished unto all good works. Yours is throughly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both?
Back when I had lost my vision, all but a slight ability to read. So I bought this, I think it was like 18 point font, big. And it was a big, thick, and I was so happy with that Bible.
Yeah.
It was a vinyl Bible, but it was just, I could read it, you know. And then I'm coming across these verses where they tinkered with it like that. I was like, oh, man. So then I found one that was, I think, 3 volumes in hardback, and it was 24 point. And so I really read that really well. Now, I need that big now, but there was a time, there's a couple years where I did. Yeah. And it's a shame they messed with the book, ain't it? You know? So that word staple, I just wanted to reiterate on that. It's a settled mark or market. I mean, the words staple commodities came in time to signify the principal commodities produced by a country for exportation or use. Meaning, like, there are staple foods, there are staple commodities, there are staple... You get to what the word staple means. It's not. I'm not talking about stapling something with a stapler. but it is a... These are things that most Middle Eastern families in ancient times, in Joel's day, they wanted to have wheat, wine, and oil.
It's just like we want our staples are bread and milk.
Which is wheat.
And toilet paper, right?
Yes, that's when the world is falling apart, but get your toilet paper. We've learned that. Which is wheat.
Shortening, yeah. You know, those kind of things.
Oil, shortening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not much different. Because you can survive on this, and then everything over and above that is, you know, icing on the wheat. So verse 25, he continues. Why don't you go ahead and read that with me? It's fun. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. So the famine is over. He's saying there's no more drought. There's going to be plenty. The famine is over. But it's not just going to be the physical famine that's over. He goes on in verse 26. Read that with me. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. So he's saying, you'll eat plenty. That's what we're talking about with all the foods and everything. And be satisfied. But here's the spiritual side of it. See, a lot of times the plenty, the prosperity, causes apostasy. People have it good, so they're living it up. And then they just go off in sin. They forget God. All their money goes to their hobbies. They can't drop any money in the bucket for the church. And all their time goes for their hobbies and fun stuff. They can't show up and sit in the pew. And so forth. That's what prosperity does to people most of the time. But in this time, in the millennium, it's going to be different. 1,000 years of prosperity, and there's going to be one big final apostasy at the end of the 1,000 years. But leading up to that, it will be prosperity with praise. And it'll be uncoerced, heartfelt thanksgiving and praise. And so it'll be a wonderful time. And the verse ends there with, and my people shall never be ashamed. And that's a promise to Israel in this context, but it's a promise to God's people in all dispensations. Look over at Isaiah 45. I got to read this. Isaiah 45. And verse 15 is where we start. Isaiah 45:15. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. I haven't got time to go into all that right now. We've talked about it before, but why does it say God hides himself? Because you're a sinner and you're wicked. Mankind is wicked. Men are sinners, and God is holy. That's why he's calling out a name. Calling out a people by his name unto himself so that there can be this world to come where he can walk in the midst of us. But right now, he can't do that. He is holy, and this is such a wicked, wicked, wicked world. I should write a song about that sometime.
Yeah, you should.
You can sing that tonight. I did. And, you know, even you go back, it's not just even our sin, but the result of our sin. Our whole planet is covered with cemeteries and dead bodies. And then there's roadkill everywhere.
Yeah.
Squirrels, raccoons, you name it. That's just on our drive home. Every time we drive home, it's like, there's another squirrel, you know. And I just joke sometimes, and that's not a good place to sleep, Mr. Raccoon. You're going to get run over. But you got to, you know, have a little levity because there's death everywhere. And even, that's why he had the Hebrews carry the paddle with them so he could bury when they did their business. Because when God did come down and walk among men, he didn't want to step in that. You know? That's what it says in the text. It's in there. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. That's another one of my pet peeves. Look how the word Savior is spelled there. S-A-V-I-O-U-R in your Bible. Anybody have a Bible that's spelled different? They just started spelling it and dropping the U. It's even in our hymn books. I just like it, the fact that the Savior, when you're talking about God, is spelled different than Savior, you know, when you're talking about something else. Just one of my pets. I like pets. So, verse 16, read 16, 17 with me. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Not good for the idol worshipers, but good for God's people. Got to repeat this, so let's continue. We'll come back to that again in a second. But back in our text, verse 27 then begins and says, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. So that's God's desire. What did he do in the Garden of Eden? He walked with Adam. There's coming a day where he's going to do that again. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. Meaning there's no other God, none else. Jesus, God the Son, the Savior, according to the Bible, will be on earth and will actually walk in the midst of his people. So scripture with scripture, one more place we're going to look, Ezekiel. And verse 43 and verse 5. I'll read that while you turn there. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. That's going to be the millennial temple. You're going to walk in that place, and the glory of the Lord, something special about that place. It's special, you know, people talk about the Temple Mount. Yes, it's special because we know what's coming. What's been there. But right now, it's not there. Right now, it's trodden underfoot by the Gentiles. And it's going to continue right through the 70th week of Daniel. Revelation 11 explains all that. So, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 6, and I heard him speaking unto me out of the house. And the man stood by me. Now, read verse 7 with me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. You see that? I mean, that's all we were talking about, is that the house of God was defiled. They brought in unclean animals. They brought in animals that should not have been there because of imperfections. They didn't process the sacrifices as commanded. They didn't take care of the place the way they ought to. There was sex going on the temple grounds and all kinds of sexual deviancy. There was idolatry taking place right there in the temple grounds. Ezekiel was given a vision of that and others. And he says their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. I mean, I love that. Their dirty, filthy carcasses. But that's the way God looks at sinful man. If you're saved, you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, you've been washed by the blood, you have the righteousness of Christ on you, He doesn't look at you and say, what a filthy carcass. But if you're lost and you're rejecting Him, He's looking at you and He sees a filthy carcass that needs to be disposed of. Next time you see that, wait till the middle of summer, where it's about maybe 90 degrees or higher, high humidity. About 3 p.m., driving down the road and you see some roadkill. Been there for at least 2 or 3 days. Get out of your car, walk up to that thing and take a big whiff. That's what you smell like to God if you're unsaved. As a Christian, He says you're a sweet-smelling savor, because you got the scent of His Son. But if you're lost, you're like 3-day-old roadkill at 3 p.m. at the heat of the day. Nasty, filthy carcasses. Oh, I lied. Let's go to Revelation 7. I did forget about putting that there.
Oh, there's a commandment about that one.
Revelation 7, verse 15. I'll read that while you're turning there. This, you got to read it. I mean, you'll be glad you did. Therefore, are they before the throne of God, and talking about tribulation saints, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Now read verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's a promise repeated numerous times, once in the Old Testament about the Jews, but in other places here, the tribulation saints, another place to all the church saints that are part of the bride of Christ in the New Jerusalem, He's going to wipe away all tears. And what a day that'll be. And that's a promise made also to the Jews. They have a different promise. It's not exactly like ours. New Jerusalem is our home. The mother of us all, Galatians says. But Israel has a land. See? The whole land of Israel promised to them. And it's much bigger than what they have today. So verse 27 closes, and my people shall never be ashamed. Turn to God for salvation, and you will not face judgment for your sins. You will never be ashamed. You'll be. It's talking about in front of God. You'll never be ashamed in His presence. Now, there are times where we do something wrong. We sin, or we just mess up. Don't do what we ought to do. To him that doeth knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James says. We all have those moments where we feel a little ashamed of ourselves. But this is saying that if you are His, then when you stand before Him on judgment day, you won't have anything to be ashamed of. Your sins will have been paid for on a cross by Jesus. He will have paid for your sins with the shedding of His blood. And you will not be ashamed when you stand before the Lord.
Amen.
God only rejects those who reject Him.
Amen.
Isn't that profound when you think about it?
Yeah.
There are going to be so many people in hell. The Bible says hell enlarges its borders.
Its mouth.
But isn't there also a text about the borders? And the Bible, Jesus said that wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that go in thereat. Isn't that sad? Because every one of those people going through the wide gate. I don't know if you've ever looked at this. You ought to take a minute sometime and really look at that picture of the cross There's this chasm of fire, and a cross is a bridge. All you got to do is cross.
Amen.
So Isaiah 5:14. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it.
Isn't that sad? Because they're all there by choice. And God only rejects those who reject him.
Amen.
But you must come to him on his terms, by faith and not of works.
Amen.
And you don't have to turn here, but I want to read this. Romans chapter 9. We studied this just a few weeks ago in our Bible study, where it says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because you can't get there by works.
Amen.
Verse 32, wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And what have we been closing these last couple of verses with? My people shall not be ashamed. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
So that's an individual decision and choice. And God's people can sing what we're about to sing. So stand with me if you would. A cappella. And he can sing this with joy and confidence. Can you turn that microphone on there? It's not on.
What number in the praise book?
Just sing. Oh, I don't know. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. On three, one, two, three, see you here, there, or in the air. Good night, everybody.
Night, guys.